Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Tending to your cardiovascular health requires much more than simply lowering your cholesterol. Maintaining heart health requires a combination of diet and lifestyle choices, along with a smart regimen of supplementation. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Heart Health Protocol, my personal supplement recommendations to reduce your heart risk. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com for details. And for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to DearHoffmanStore.com. That's DearHoffmanStore.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We're talking about ways that we can prevent dementia and sharpen your mind. The book is The Aging Brain. Our guest is Dr. Timothy Jennings. Dr. Jennings is a psychiatrist. He's based in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And his book is a comprehensive set of strategies for preventing memory loss and averting Alzheimer's disease. And we haven't focused enough yet on the effects of diet. And I have here in front of me a study, very current study. It's from this month. In fact, last week, headline, long-term diet of vegetables, fruit, tied to less memory loss in men. It's a momentous study. It's out of Harvard. The research has found that leafy greens, dark orange, and red vegetables, and berry fruits showed the strongest links to protection against loss of cognitive function. And they published it in the top journal on brain health, entitled Neurology. You know about that study, I'm pretty sure, Dr. Jones.
I hadn't seen that study, but that doesn't surprise me at all, because that is something that many other studies along the way have been leading us toward, and I would expect that to be very consistent with what we've described in the book, a plant-based diet is the healthiest diet that a person can have, and foods with lots of colors in them, like the berries and the green leafy vegetables, these polyphenols, and they're highly anti-inflammatory and antioxidant, and it's this oxidative stress that builds up in our bodies over time, which is really the driving pathway to both accelerating aging in general and dementia in particular.
You know, these foods may all have direct chemical effects on the brain. You know, literally these antioxidants and polyphenols get absorbed, and they kind of bathe your brain in healthy humors. But there's also the thought that all that healthy fiber may contribute to a healthy microbiome. And you actually address that in your book, the microbiome impact on brain health.
No, you're exactly right. And in fact, our gut bacteria can shift in as little as 24 hours based on a change in our diet. And one of the factors that accelerates aging, accelerates multiple health problems, and accelerates dementia is obesity. A person at age 70 who's obese will have a brain that has 8% less brain volume and looks 16 years older than a normal weight person at age 70. And one of the factors in obesity, and I'm tying this back to what you just said, is the microbiome, the bacteria in our gut. And the data shows, and there's so many bacteria, we haven't looked at them all yet, but obese people have different populations of bacteria in their gut than normal weight people. And specifically, obese people have less bacterioides and more Firmicutes than the lean people do. And plant-based diets shift the bacteria towards the bacteria that promote leanness, and animal-based diets shift the bacteria towards the bacteria that promotes obesity.
The so-called BF ratio, they place a lot of importance on that in terms of metabolism.
That's exactly right. And what happens is, you know, we have two populations of fat in our body. We have white fat, which is associated with obesity, and we have brown fat, which is associated with body temperature regulation. And the brown fat has vascularization, a lot of mitochondria in it, and so that can use the fat to burn very quickly for energy to change your body temperature and so forth. The foods that have a lot of plant-based diets in them actually activate an immune cell, which causes white fat to turn into brown fat, and that helps burn it off. And that seems to be the pathway for the lack of, or the reduction of obesity from a plant-based diet. And then you get all the other benefits of the polyphenols and antioxidant effects as well. So you're exactly right. There are these relationships, and diet is key.
One of the features of the modern diet, and especially recently over the last 50 or 75 years, is the introduction of a lot of soy foods, and in particular soy-derived oils, which are rich in something called LA, linoleic acid. And I learned something very profound from your book that I'd never heard before, which is the relationship between LA and appetite via the endocannabinoid system. Can you explain that?
Well, yes, LA is a precursor to the brain's marijuana-like compounds called endocannabinoids, and the diets high in this particular oil, which is 50% by weight of soybean oil, it increases appetite and satiety and food craving and may be a factor. And in fact, data does show that it is a factor in obesity. The human diet went from 1% of this type of oil 100 years ago to 8% of what we eat now in fats in our diet of this type of oil. One animal study at least demonstrated that by adding in omega-3 fatty acids from fish oil, 1% of your fatty acids from that type of oil tended to reverse the endocannabinoid effects in the brain.
Wow. Okay. So, you know, flipping that ratio, or at least modifying that ratio of the omega-6 to omega-3, can have an impact on appetite, can have an impact on obesity and inflammation.
Yes, and a lot of people don't recognize where they're getting this this LA oil, this from soybean. It's used in a lot of industrial products, industrial cooking. It's used in, you know, mayonnaises and sauces and dressings and many things you don't necessarily initially think about.
The French fries that you eat and so on, fried foods, junk
right.
food.
Exactly.
Yeah, so we're getting tons of it. And in fact, you mention in the book that there is a distinct junk food depression link, and you know there's a common denominator between depression and memory loss and Alzheimer's.
There is, and that, again, it's that inflammatory cascade. People who eat junk food or fast food have a 40% higher rate of depression than people who don't. And there's a dose-dependent relationship there. And it's not just that they're not getting good vitamins and nutrients because of nutrient void foods. It's that the junk foods and fast foods, croissants, pizzas, donuts, and so forth, are inflammatory. They increase these factors that we take in our body to increase our immune response, actually, and we increase inflammation in our body. And so anti-inflammatory foods, what you just mentioned from the neurology study, which is those green leafy vegetables and berries, these are very antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, and they are very healthy for our bodies and brains.
Indeed. So in addition to omega-3 fatty acids, you have a whole section here entitled Vitamins and Supplements That Prevent Dementia, of particular interest to our listeners, news they can use. Well, let's run through some of those.
So one of them is walnuts, raw walnuts. Adults who eat walnuts regularly have better cognition. There's studies that show that walnut extract prevents the fibrillation of this toxic protein associated with Alzheimer's disease called amyloid protein, and can even help dissolve it and keep it in a soluble form to remove from the brain. So I like to recommend these types of things because there's really no negative downside. Hey, eat 6 or 8 walnuts a day. Oh boy, no downside to that. And all potential upside.
I sprinkle them on my salad every night.
It's perfect. Perfect. There's a spice, an Indian spice called curcumin, and it is a yellow spice, and it's been shown to bind to amyloid protein and keep it in a soluble form. It has direct anti-inflammatory effects itself. It also binds trace chemicals like iron and copper. It's a free radical scavenger. And it hasn't been shown to help those who are already demented or have dementia. So its actions would tend to be preventative so we never develop dementia.
What about ginkgo? Ginkgo is really touted as something that can be helpful for memory. What does the data say about that?
Yeah, so the data on ginkgo seems to show that if you have cognitive loss, it can show some benefits in your performance while you're using it, but it doesn't have any benefits for prevention at all.
It won't make you smarter when you're taking that SAT exam or something like that.
Right. And so it does, if you have no dementia, it doesn't help you. It doesn't help prevent it, but it may help cognition and memory in those that already have impairments. So that would be the place for that. Vitamin D, I recommend people get their vitamin D levels checked. If you have a low vitamin D, you have double the risk of Alzheimer's dementia than if you have a new normal vitamin D. If it's really low, it increases all-cause mortality. But just taking vitamin D on your own is not advised because you can become toxic on it, and super high vitamin D has also increased mortality. So I would tell people to get it checked. Here in Chattanooga, you think, well, we're kind of a southern state. We probably are good down here, right? Well, about 7 out of 10 people in Chattanooga have low vitamin D.
Indeed, you know, because people in Arizona, especially older people who stay inside because it's so hot and the air conditioning, they have vitamin D deficiency. It's amazing.
That's right. I found green tea very interesting.
Okay.
Green tea is rich in antioxidants, flavonoids. It improves cognition and memory in all groups. People with no dementia, people with dementia, people with mild cognitive changes all had enhanced memory and cognition by drinking green tea. Studies show that green tea also helps clear amyloid out of the brain. It's been shown to reduce risk of developing Alzheimer's dementia. And studies show that green tea enhances neural connectivity from the prefrontal cortex to other cortical regions, so it enhances neural processing.
What about coffee? Controversial beverage, because when I was going through my medical training and nutritional study, coffee was an evil thing that needed to be expunged from the diet. Well, we're starting to rethink that.
Yes. So multiple studies now have shown that regular coffee drinking basically reduces all-cause mortality. The New England Journal of Medicine study a couple years ago, 50,000 people in the study followed for 13 years, found that regular coffee consumption reduced all-cause mortality. It reduces multiple different cancers. It also has been shown to reduce your risk of Alzheimer's dementia. And looking at the details in that, only green tea also shown, as far as a caffeinated beverage, the only caffeinated beverage besides coffee that had benefit was the green tea. Other caffeinated beverages have not shown benefit, and caffeine pills don't show benefit. And so there's actually a combination of the antioxidant flavonoids and other compounds in the coffee with the caffeine that seem to be interacting together to show this benefit, particularly on cognition. And I want to mention, as we're talking about drinks, that artificial sweeteners increase your risk of dementia.
Oh, boy.
Artificial sweeteners increase your risk of dementia.
However, in particular, is it NutraSweet or
NutraSweet, saccharin? Yep.
Any of
all,
those?
All of them.
Okay.
Yep. All of them increase your risk of dementia. Now, a high sugar diet, increases your risk of dementia, and that's because it's going to increase oxidative stress on your body. And a bolus of big, heavy sugar meal, like, right after Halloween and you eat a bunch of Halloween candy, there's an immediate impact on neural signaling in the memory circuits of the brain where we actually have memory, we can't learn as well, don't remember as well right after a major sugar rush. But that one-time thing won't increase your risk of dementia, but chronically high sugar diet does, because it increases various oxidative factors, advanced glycation end products like hemoglobin A1C and so forth, which are very oxidizing in the brain. However, now tying this back to our coffee drinking.
Yeah.
If you have a generally low sugar diet, but you have a cup of coffee or two every day with a teaspoon of sugar in it, and that's and otherwise a low sugar diet,
right,
that does not increase your risk of dementia.
Okay, that's
right. But if you have a low sugar diet and you have one or two cups of coffee a day with a saccharin or a NutraSweet in it every day, that does increase your risk of dementia.
So it's a fool's paradise if you think you're mitigating the harm of sugar with these artificial substitutes.
That's correct. It's much better. It's much better to use a little bit of sugar in your... Now, what I personally use in my coffee, maple syrup.
Okay.
I love it. It's a wonderful flavor. And maple syrup, there's at least one study out there that shows that maple syrup also reduces your risk of Alzheimer's dementia. So I'm not advocating that fully, but there is at least a little bit of hope that that might prove to be true. It's just an initial study looking at that. So, and the other thing to tell people about drinks is that high fructose corn syrup appears to be 10 times more oxidizing than sugar. So it's better if you are going to use a sweetener just to use natural sugar than it is high fructose corn syrup, and that's also better than the artificial sweeteners.
Okay. When it comes to supplements, you know, you do mention a few others. Some of the B vitamins.
Yes, B vitamins are essential. And we've known for years that people with heavy alcohol use, alcoholism, with alcohol dependence, can develop a form of dementia, Wernicke-Korsakoff syndrome, which is directly related to thiamine deficiency. And so B vitamin deficiency, whether it's B6 or B12 or B1 thiamine, the B vitamins are essential for neuronal health and multiple processes to keep our brain healthy. And so including clearing out some waste products of metabolism that the pathways that clear them require the B vitamins for. And if we don't have those B vitamins, then those toxins build up and cause oxidative stress on the brain.
And some older individuals have B12 deficiency, and often it's not checked, or, you know, doctors will do tests and say, well, you know, B12 is, you know, 200, but that's not really deficient, so no problem there.
Right, and so they do need to follow up with their docs and get that checked, and get on some B vitamins if that's the problem. Sometimes oral B vitamins won't work for the elderly; they have absorption issues.
There's been some controversy about vitamin E, because vitamin E had been thought to be neuroprotective, but then some studies have shown, for example, Parkinson's studies show that it's no great shakes in terms of staving off Parkinson's.
And then not only that, some of the studies showed it was actually causing more problems. And when you break down, you'll say, well, here's a study that shows benefit. Here's a study that shows problems. What I found was that they actually break down into two groups. Vitamin E studies done on vitamin E supplements versus vitamin E studies done on food sources of vitamin E. And in nature, vitamin E has 8 isomers, or 8 different forms, and most of the supplement studies are using either 1 or 2 of those isomers, and evidently that is causing some type of a problem our body doesn't like, because there's no real benefit and perhaps harm coming from that. But vitamin E from food sources, all the studies consistently show there's benefit when you get vitamin E from a food source, in reducing dementia risks. And what happens is vitamin E is fat soluble, and it concentrates in the lipid membrane of the neurons and becomes antioxidant and scavenging up free radicals. And then vitamin C, which is water soluble and concentrates inside the neurons, will also scavenge up these free radicals. And there's a relation between the two where after vitamin E is utilized, vitamin C can reactivate it. So it's good to keep up with both of those.
Nutraceutical that's gaining popularity, you being a psychiatrist, you know that it's being used for depression. You mentioned it in connection with memory preservation. It's rhodiola.
Yes, rhodiola rosea. And there's a lot of research that's been around for 30, 40 years now, deeply researched rhodiola rosea, which is a nutraceutical that has neuroprotective effects, anti-aging effects, cognitive enhancing effects. So a lot of positive benefits to that. I haven't really seen any negatives about taking rhodiola rosea. And in fact, I take rhodiola rosea every day, and I just have been doing that for many years just because the evidence is so strong, as a benefit for that.
As do I. And finally, there's hormone replacement therapy, controversial because, you know, some studies suggest that, you know, the well-known phenomenon of women having forgetfulness is due to loss of their estrogen, and yet studies are unclear as to whether estrogen protects the brain.
Well, you know, it's before we get into the dementia piece, as a psychiatrist who treats mood disorders, it's been well known that certain women are vulnerable to severe depressions, and in the aftermath of breast cancer, for instance, where they put them on meds to completely block estrogen in their body, some women get these very, very severe depressions that no medicine and even shock therapy just have no real response to, and if you give them the teeniest, smallest little dose of estrogen, just a whiff of it, then they really come back to life, but it does put them at risk for having a breast cancer recurrence again if they're estrogen sensitive breast cancer. And so we know that certain women, their brains are very, very sensitive, and estrogens are very important for neural health and brain function. With that in mind, when we look at the dementia data and aging data, As you say, it's a lot of conflicting data out there. And as I researched this, what I discovered, it seems to be timing of the dosing or the initiation of the estrogen replacement in postmenopause. If the estrogen replacement is begun within 5 years of menopause, right, then the data consistently seems to show, in fact, if a study of over 8,000 women found that followed for 20 years, found if hormone replacement therapy started within 5 years, it reduced their risk of Alzheimer's dementia up to 50%.
Same for heart disease prevention, because, you know, in that NHANES study where, you know, ultimately, actually it was the Women's Health Initiative study where they decided that estrogen was bad. What they discovered is they started estrogen much too late in older women and put them at higher risk for cardiovascular disease. They didn't start right at the time of menopause, which would have been protected.
And that's correct. So that's the key. Start within 5 years, but if it's been more than 5 years, then initiating it really may cause more harm. And so that's what we recommend in the book people talk to their doctor about.
And finally, you know, as we conclude, you know, let's give a nod to spirituality, because your book does encompass that, religion, but not religion per se. So, you know, spiritual orientation has a documented benefit in terms of staving off mental decline.
Right. And so my emphasis for people is a love-oriented life. Okay. And that means altruistic, other-centered, caring, compassionate, grace, forgiving, kindness. And so a spiritual journey that enhances the development of those attributes in a person by worshiping a benevolent, compassionate, loving God rather than an authoritarian, punitive, punishing God. And the data shows that the God concept one worships, impacts our own neural development, our own physical health, and a loving, beneficent God concept results in better physical and mental health and lower rates of dementia versus an angry, authoritative God concept, because that incites fear. That fear activates stress circuitry that increases inflammatory cascades internally. Additionally, authoritarian practices will cause problems in our relationships, causing more relationship stress. And often people struggle with more internal guilt and fear of condemnation when they're in an authoritarian system. So I am not a pro-religion person per se. I'm a pro-healthy spiritual development in a relationship with a benevolent God. So.
Okay. Well, I must commend you, because the book is very comprehensive. You touch on a lot of bases in a relatively digestible format. The book is not 600 pages. It's easily readable, and I recommend it very highly. It's The Aging Brain, Proven Steps to Prevent Dementia and Sharpen Your Mind, the author Timothy Jennings. So thanks very much for joining us today, Dr. Jennings. Any additional resources that you want to point listeners to?
No, I just want to share a thought that dementia is not inevitable. It is preventable.
Indeed, and that's what it's all about. We're not fated by our genes to decline inexorably. There are ways, many ways, that we can intervene and stave off that process. Thank you very much for joining us.
And thanks for having me.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.